Hey, welcome to church. Are you happy to be in church today? Come on. There's so many fun things going on. It's just such a great part. Great to be a part of it. And today I get to preach with my wife, Kendall. Isn't that awesome? You do a good job on the announcements.
They let me out from behind the camera.
They let you out, yeah. There's no green screen behind you. It's so cool to be able to do this together and be part of it together. By the way, we also live streamed to Port Alberni earlier this morning, and it's just fun. It's fun to be thinking about all these things. And last thing I'll mention, Pastor Joelle is doing great in Thailand. She's thanks for all your prayers. She's been feeling really impacted and moved as they've been kind of wandering through the city and getting to see some of the victims of and people currently still trapped in sex trafficking. And so, it's been quite the journey. But anyways, she's receiving your prayers, loving that she's being prayed for. It's awesome. All right, we're working through this series, End of Me. And this is our second last week of this, actually. Next week, actually, we have Josh Clark preaching. And that's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun to have him sharing with us. I'll be in Port Alberni, and it's going to be really amazing. But we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus's first sermon about the Beatitudes, and him talking about the blessed life, and the blessed life often to us looks so much different than how he describes it later on. He describes the idea of being blessed are you when you're poor in spirit, blessed are you when you're mourning, blessed are you when you're meek. He sort of paints a picture of a brokenness, of a need, of an emptiness that God actually says you're blessed when you have that, because when you have that, you can point it towards him and discover his righteousness for you is where the middle of the sermon takes us. And then after that, he starts describing what that righteousness will look like. And 2 weeks ago, we said it looks like mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Last week, we said the pure in heart, which a lot of people said, that one really grabbed me, the pure in heart idea, and that concept that our actions would look the same as our heart. And lots of people actually loved hearing that I dumped a bucket of paint in Griffin's backpack. But anyways, that's beside the point. That's a week ago now. So, and then this week, we're talking about peacemakers. In Matthew 5:9, Jesus, as he continues on in that sermon, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." In other words, those who make peace will look most like their Father. Those who make peace, you'll be able to see that family line in them. You'll be able to see that these are people acting like, looking like, behaving like the Father in heaven. And as we make peace, we start to look like God. So that's a really amazing thing. So as Kendall and I were thinking about that, we've had something on our radar. She especially has something in our radar that we've wanted to speak about for a while. I think this is the perfect time to do it. What is that thing that we've been wanting to tie in with this?
That thing is offense. Spirit of offense that we can take.
And offense really changes a lot of things in us. And when we're not talking, just so you know, we're not talking about massive like trauma. We're not talking about forgiveness. We're talking about the idea of how so many things in our life will come into our heart and we have to decide what we're going to do with them. So one of our friends says often, your response is your responsibility. And so we're thinking about the idea of what happens when things happen to you. What happens when people unintentionally or intentionally hurt you? What are you going to do with that? Are you going to walk in offense or are you going to let it go? So that's what we kind of want to talk a little bit about today. We're not talking about the big, massive things that you need to figure out how to forgive and go to a counselor and walk through all that. We're talking about the little things that we decide to either let grow or let go in our lives, right? What are some of those things?
Well, I mean, in our on world line today, you can look at maybe Instagram, Facebook. They didn't like my photo. They didn't respond to it. Maybe someone is slow to respond to your text message. Hey, you want to hang out tonight?
Yeah.
No response.
Isn't it the worst one is when you're like writing in a text message, hey, how's it going? Great. What's going on today? No, we're just hanging out and doing this. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, do you want to hang out? Nothing. We were talking up until that point. Like, what just happened
good.
In that moment?
Yeah, exactly.
And we can choose to take offense or not.
Yeah.
What are some other
Absolutely.
Ones? We have some others?
Parents in the room.
Uh-oh.
People that lovingly want to offer you wisdom and advice on your child raising.
Yeah, on how to raise your kids.
That doesn't sit very well. Yeah, yeah. And we want to choose to take offense.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You would not tell me that. Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing fine.
I'm doing fine, yeah. What about in marriage for us?
Yeah, so I mean, this is something that we've obviously faced before.
Do you tell this story?
We are not perfect people.
No.
And, okay, you.
I'll tell this story. Yeah, you. When we were pretty early married, I had a lot to learn at that point, a lot to learn about how to not offend. And one time Kendall wanted to make breakfast, and hallelujah. I mean, that's the best thing ever when someone wants to make breakfast. I realized not too long after this that probably this very story is why I'm usually the breakfast guy since then. But one day Kendall's like, you know, hey, hubby, here's a coffee, you know, loving me and wanting to make me breakfast. There's like, I don't know, ham and bacon, peppers, onions, all in this nice. I'm thinking it's like an omelet or something.
It's but actually a frittata.
Yeah, frittata.
Very big difference.
And so the frittata is cooking. And I'm like, okay, this is so special. I love it. I come out, and she puts it on my plate, and I'm looking around. She's plated it nice. There's like orange juice, coffee. I've got it all.
And then, then he says, hey, is there any ketchup I can put on this? Right?
So I would have had no idea that that was an issue. I had some guys after the service, the first service, too, go, what's wrong with ketchup? Like, nothing's wrong with ketchup. Are you, yeah, come on, you feel me. Like, but there was that, like, she seasoned it all nicely, and now I'm just like, psh, ketchup. Anyways, I haven't asked for ketchup that often since.
No.
Were you offended?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, and that's why you make breakfast now.
Yeah. I do a good job, though.
You do. Yeah. No, there's lots of situations that we can take offense in. One that I took offense in was early on in our time living in Courtney. It didn't really dawn on me how small Courtney was coming from Victoria, and I love it. I'm not saying anything against it. I do love it. But our kids were given pairs of jammies as gifts. And our kids are tall. They're not tiny kids. So yeah. I needed to exchange them for the size up because otherwise they just didn't fit. We'd have to cut the little feeties off of them for them to wear them. So I head to the store to go. I don't have a gift receipt. I don't have a... but the tags are on, right? They've been unworn. So I'm thinking, oh, yeah, this is easy peasy. We're going to swap these out. No big deal. Well...
It was a big deal.
We had a big conversation about this, and my voice probably got bigger than it should have, and I was probably causing offense in the way that I was acting, and then I was awakened when my son, who was probably hiding because he's like, Mom's being crazy, so he comes up to the till, and then the lady says, oh, Hardy, you're Pastor Evan's wife.
Oh,
yes, I am.
Yeah. That is the worst moment where you're sitting there like getting all mad at this person because you're offended because of the anti-pajama exchange laws in Canada. And now you're kind of elevated and all of a sudden like, oh, hello, Mrs. Pastor. Wow. So we're in a small town, just so you know, if we see you in Costco and you smile, you're getting a big full wave.
Changed my ways now.
But the thing is, we all have this opportunity, pajamas or breakfast or Instagram posts or not following me or whatever it is. We all have these opportunities where something can land in our heart and we decide what we do with it. Where we all have the opportunity to choose, am I going to nurse this grudge? Am I going to let this build into something and develop into something beyond what it actually is? Or am I going to let it go? Peacemaking doesn't nurse grudges, it builds bridges. That rather than nursing a grudge, I'm going to build a bridge to that person. That's what peacemaking is, that I'm going to make sure my heart is at peace so I can be at peace with you. Proverbs 19:11 says this well. It says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like how it says that because it doesn't tell us to forgive an offense. And sometimes we do that, right? We get offended, like if Kendall was offended that she couldn't do the pajamas and then she came back the next day and said, hey, I just want you to know something. I forgive you for your absolutely ridiculous behavior. Sometimes we think that we've done a real Christian act in that moment. Like, look how forgiving I am. Isn't that awesome? Really, it's like condemnation with a twist. Is that what that looks like? But he doesn't say it's to your glory to forgive offenses. He says it's to your glory to overlook them. To not even credit them for hurting you, to not even mention them, to not even say them. Like they're hitting you, darts are coming at you, and you've got to decide, am I going to focus on that? Go, whoa, what was that? What did it mean? What did they mean? Do they not like me? Hold up a second. Do they do this to everyone, or is it me specifically? Have they done this to me before? Is this the third time, fourth time, fifth? Which time is this? No, he says, just overlook it. What does it look like to raise your eyes, to elevate your view, to not look at the offense, but to look at what God is doing up here, to see above what's going on, that this stuff doesn't even need to be reconciled, forgiven, sorted out, apologized for. It's just not there. I didn't even see it because I was looking up.
Yeah.
I overlooked it.
Instead of looking at me all the time, how does this affect me? How will I be hurt? How has this hurt me? It's having that heavenly focus. Rene Descartes says, whenever anyone has offended me, I try to raise my soul so high that the offender cannot reach it.
Yeah.
So it's keeping my eyes on Jesus, keeping my eyes on the calling that he has placed on my life, not being distracted by the things of the enemy, right? Satan wants to distract you. He wants you to have an earthly focus. He wants you to have a focus on how's this person offended me? How's this person? And all of a sudden you're so distracted, you're so caught up in all of your me, that you've forgotten about the calling that God has placed on your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a prayer that you sometimes have prayed for yourself in ministry.
Yeah, so I will often pray that God would give me a thick skin but a soft heart. So a thick skin in that, like, those comments can come. Those things can come. I'm not going to get invited to everything. That's okay. When they come, they can just fall right off, and I will continue to have a soft heart towards what God is calling me to do and the reason that he has planted me here. If I allow those things into my heart, your heart becomes hard. It becomes hard in relationship with that person or with your husband or wife or with the community that you're in. It becomes hardened, and then life is not there. Life is not growing.
Right. Colossians 3:13, Paul says, make allowance for each other's faults. Mm-hmm. So I want you to consider that one for a second. Make allowance for each other's faults. What does that mean? That means you've got enough margin in your life that people can fail you and it won't break everything. Mm-hmm. That peace isn't lost just because someone lets me down. That I don't lose all my peace, and our relationship doesn't lose all of our peace because someone lets you down. Paul says, walk with allowance for other people. Walk in a way that other people will let you down at some point, that you will be missed on the invite list. You will sometimes not get the comments you want. You will sometimes not get the thank you that you're looking for. You will sometimes not get the promotion that you're looking for because you're working with people. And Paul says, I want you to make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you.
I think it's important to notice here, too, that Paul is talking to the early church about this.
Right.
So Satan's way of getting into our lives, of messing things up, of distracting us, has not changed.
Yeah, right.
He is still trying to do that in the church today. And in a lot of ways, if we look at our hearts, is being quite effective.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we open our eyes to see, no, he's still working. He's still meddling in the same way that he has tried to, but we have a choice, and we need to recognize that choice as to how we choose to receive or reject that offense.
Yeah. And the thing is that when we live offended, it's not just affecting our peace or our relational peace. When we live offended, it's affecting our calling. It changes our ability to see God's plan for our life and recognize God's purpose for our life and recognize his pull in our lives. When you live offended, your ministry is upended. Ephesians 4:1-3, Paul says this. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. I love that idea. Live a life worthy of your calling, a worthy life. I've often thought about that, and it's one of my favorite verses. Like, oh, a life worthy of my calling. What does that mean, Lord? Like, so much faith, so much courage, so much generosity, so much compassion. I'll just do huge and massive things. Is that a life worthy of my calling? And he goes on and says, you have been called by God, but here's what the life worthy of your calling is. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance, again, for each other's faults because of your love. Yeah. That's a life worthy of your calling. I hope you know that you're called. I hope that you know that God has called you into the positions that you're in your life. You're called to be a parent. You're called to be a classmate. You're called to be a kid. You're called to be you're called to have the parents you have. You're called to be part of this church. You're called to serve in the gate or in kids ministry or holding signs out front. You're called to the neighborhood that you're in. You're called. God has called you. Mm-hmm. He says, if you want to live a life worthy of that calling, here's how you do it. Make allowance for each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't be offended by each other. Don't hold grudges against each other. Don't nurse grudges against each other. Instead of letting grudges grow, let them go. Yeah. Yeah. And so God has called us to that, right?
Yeah, no, it's so true. We all have a ministry, right? Sometimes when you think like, oh, the people at the church have a ministry because they are pastors or things, but you all have a ministry. You all have interactions. If you have chosen to live for Jesus, the people around you, your family is your ministry, the teachers and the students that you interact with, the people at the coffee shop, those people are a part of your ministry. So the people at work, they see you, they know that you are living a life for Jesus, and so we need to recognize that. What is your ministry, and how am I going to walk in that?
Right.
Yeah.
It's arts and crafts time.
Our visual learners, get excited. You can wake up now.
Yeah, exactly. We actually saw this illustration from a Stephen Furtick, different pastor, and loved it so much. But anytime that you take offense, you build a fence. Hey, that's a good one. So you take offense and you build it. Every time that someone hands you offense, it's your choice. What am I going to do with this? How am I going to handle this from now on? So maybe Kendall, maybe the picket that she's handing me right there is she forgot to thank me when I did the dishes at nighttime.
There's a lot of them.
So go ahead, don't thank me. Here you go. Yeah. She doesn't thank me, and now I'm holding the picket, and I got to decide what to do with this. It was a pretty hard night. You know, it was a lot of dishes. She burnt a few things. It was some serious scrubbing going on there, and so I had to really work for this. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to stick that here. I could put it down, but I'm just going to put this here. So now, from now on, when I see my wife, I'm just going to have to like look through that unthankful. Hello, Miss Unthankful. Like I'm just going to have. That's how we're going to have to start to talk to each other, because I have to look around this offense before I can even see my wife at that point. There's an obstruction, And maybe it's work, and my boss hands me not a promotion, even though he gave that person who's lazy sloth over there a promotion. And like down the, what? That person got a promotion? I don't know. I didn't get a promotion. Instead of being thankful for the job, instead of being thankful for a job that's moving forward, a company that's moving forward, a boss that thinks about promotions. Instead, I'm going to be so mad that they got. I'm going to go ahead and stick this there. So every time I see my boss, he can say, "Hey, how's your day?" And I can say, "It would have been good if I was making a few more bucks. Thank you very much." You know, and that's how I'm going to live my life from now on. Or maybe it's maybe we do go to the social media world, and you know, I followed that person and they didn't follow me back. I mean, I'm throwing them a bone here. Like, I'm going to follow them, and their feed's not that good, but I'll help them out. And they don't even follow me back. You know, I could put that down, or I could go ahead and go, how can I think I'll do a public unfollowing of this person now. Like, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And we're starting to build this thing, and we think we're just doing what's right, and we're just doing what's good, we're just doing what's fair, but I don't know. Or maybe it's something happens in your life, and there's someone specific that you're thinking needs to reach out to you. Maybe it's a specific pastor, a specific person in the church. Like, that person needs to reach out to me, or I'm going to live offended. And we have the opportunity. I had other people reach out to me. I read the Bible and Jesus. I feel God's Spirit moving in me. I have that. But that one person did. You know what? I just don't want to be not reached out to. I gotta go ahead, and I'm gonna put that up. I'm gonna live this way, because this is how all of a sudden you live your life in this way where you can't see anything clearly without looking at a fence first. Mm-hmm. You're staring at a fence, and now Kendall goes ahead and says, "Hey, I want to thank you for something." Yep. I sort of appreciate that. No, I don't really, because you just still didn't thank me back here. I still remember this one. I still remember that thing that you did. You can give me a promotion now, but I remember that you chose that person before me anyway, so don't think you're getting off the hook for that. Oh, yeah, you can go ahead and pretend to be friends here, but I know that you didn't follow me on it. I know you didn't like me on that Instagram. No. Well, you can go ahead and say what you want, but it's a little bit too late, right? I'm going to hold on to this now. And we chose what to do with these things. Worship team, you can come on up. This is our opportunity every time we're handed one of these things. And this isn't forgiveness stuff. This isn't stuff that we go back, hey, Kendall, hey, I just want to talk to you. I forgive you for not thanking me for the dishes. And she's like, oh, really? Because I forgive you for not thanking me for making it. Oh, no. You know, it's not something that we just go ahead and seek forgiveness and seek reconciliation. What we have the opportunity to do in these situations is decide when we're given this, when we're giving, someone didn't invite me to their party, someone didn't thank me in that moment, someone didn't give me the recognition that I needed, somebody didn't follow me the way I thought, that somebody didn't visit with me, talk to me, share with me, somebody didn't, somebody told a secret that whatever it is, they give you this thing and you go, what should I do with this? We, every single time we decide, should I let this grow or should I let this go? Do I want to build a fence or do I want to put it down on the ground and let it become nothing? It's our choice. It's not someone else's choice for you. Yeah, well, they didn't thank me. Okay. That'd be great if you got thanks all the time. I wish I got thanks every time I did anything that was ever good in my entire life. You're not going to. So you have to decide, do I let it grow or let it go? So tell me, should I let this grow or let it go? That was a hard one because those were hard dishes. How about this one? Let it grow, let it go. This one's a tight one. This one hurts. Ugh! You got these things that are hard to pull out. And sometimes what you want to do is you want to go and whack the person who gave it to you. Pull this offense out and look at, I'm going to forgive you, but no. Instead, we hold it like this. Say, God, I remember what you did for me. I remember that you forgave everything before I even asked for it. I remember that you offered me grace before I even knew what to do with it. So should I let this grow or should I let this go? Build a bridge. We don't nurse grudges, we build bridges. Whoa! What was this one? The promotion? Oh. Let it grow or let it go? Let it go. And all of a sudden, I've got access to this person. All of a sudden, I look at my wife, or I look at my boss, or I look at that friend, or I look at that person, whatever it is, I don't have to see around anything. I get to see them for who they are. They treat me nicely. I don't have to say, yeah, well, you're being nice, but you also have this and this and this. And oh, sure, you're doing that now because you remember all of these things. No, you just look at them and say, what? You're going to treat me like that? Wow, what a gift. What a blessing. What I want you to remember is that Jesus, you've handed all sorts of pickets to Jesus. He's got the same opportunity. He just keeps throwing them down like this. He goes, as soon as you ask me, I'm coming. I'm with you. As soon as you ask me, I'm there. But sometimes we live with these fences in our lives. And so I want a chance to pray for you today. Because today maybe you're recognizing that you got some fences in your life. You've built some fences around your heart. You look at your spouse and you see all of the things that you've been offended by. You look at your friends and you see that one friend, you know, all of the things, all the times I thought we were friends and then you didn't invite me. I thought we were friends and then you went and that with that friend. I thought we were friends and then you said that to that person. Maybe today it's to your church family or a pastor. Well, you call yourself a pastor, but then you do this. Then you act that way. Then you let me down on this one. Then you, whatever it might be. And you've started building a fence, say, well, I'm just gonna, this is happier for me. It's not happier for you. It's hurting you. And God is saying to you, will you do the same thing with all those that I've done with you? Will you put them down so that you can have clear access? Because I've made that way for you as well. So maybe you'd bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. Today, maybe you don't actually know that Jesus actually doesn't put your pickets up. He doesn't build a fence from you to him. And when you've sinned against him and the things that should offend him that you have done, he's not sitting there being offended. Instead, he's building a huge pile over here that's not in his way. It's behind him. It's not between you and him. It's behind him. Your pile, it could be massive of all these things, but he's put them back there and says, anytime you want to invite me, I'm going to come over. All of those things are there. You know they're there. You're going to seek forgiveness for those. But anytime you call me, I'm coming to you. If you didn't know that, if you didn't know that Jesus hasn't built a fence, but instead he's putting those things aside for it's the very moment that you invite him, he's coming into your life and he's going to be your Lord and Savior if you allow him. If today you say, I need that Jesus to come. I need him to come and meet me. I've been hurting him. I've been trying to offend him. I've been accidentally offending him. I've been doing all sorts of stuff. But if he's still okay with me, I want him in my life. I want him leading my life. If today you say, I want to know that Jesus. I want to live for that Jesus that didn't build a fence with my offense, but instead has built an open door for me to be in him and living through him. If today you want that Jesus, your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand because I want to pray for you. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you've made us away because you didn't count all of our sins against us. Instead, you put them on you and took them to the cross. Instead of building a fence, you built a cross for them all to die. And you built a cross out of our offenses. And you shed your blood for the sake of all of them. Thank you that you've made a way. I pray that the people who have raised their hand today would just experience you pouring into their life today, changing their hearts. And for some of you today, you recognize that you've built a fence. Maybe it's offense from your spouse, offense from your friends, offense from your boss, offense from a coworker, offense from someone on social media that you've never even met. Today, God wants to give you the strength and the wisdom to pull things out and lay them down. Instead of seeking forgiveness and sort of sneaking a punishment in there in the midst of it, just lay them down. If today you say, I want the strength and the life and the power of the Holy Spirit to remove these pickets and lay them down. If today you say, I want to be able to do that, I want to walk in that strength and I want to experience God's prompting and strength for me to do that. If today that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There's hands all over the room. You're not alone. You're not alone in this. There's people all over the room saying, I need to do that. I need to do that. I need to do that. Lord, you see all the hands. You see the people who are raising their hands saying, I don't want to walk in this way anymore. I don't want to walk with fences around me, guarding myself from other people. But instead, help me to lay down the things that I've decided are worth holding on to. Help me recognize they're not worth holding on to. Let me elevate my eyes. Help me overlook a fence and see the calling that you've put in front of me. Jesus, help us. Through your Holy Spirit, help us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.